Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
Right around the corner. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man. I was just listening to Stoke and John on just now, man, and got this incredible sense of a call to action for Joe Woods, man.
Like call to action.
A call to action, like of all the times that you need to show up and show up big. Like, this is the week to do it. You know, there's no stress like the present stress. And the present stress is dealing with a guy who is John Elway at quarterback, dealing with a running back who's Terrell Davis at running back, dealing with a defensive lineman who profiles like a Reggie White type of guy and Aaron Donald. And, you know, don't forget the other guy opposite him may be in a conversation for a Hall of Fame bid in Ndamukong Suh. Brockers is coming around the corner, putting pressure on the offense. Hey, man, it's time for your defense. The one thing that – this is what I want to say. The one thing that cannot happen on Monday, that cannot happen, we can't be talking about the Rams defense and not ours. Like, that would be –
We can't talk about the Rams defense and not ours.
On Monday, we can't be talking about Wade Phillips dialed it up and you know, Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh, all those guys over there, you know, are making plays. And it just, you know, we can't do that. Marcus Peters had two interceptions. Why were we throwing at them? You know, and it sounds like it's an offensive problem, but we had this conversation last week where we said that if you're a very competitive person, then what usually happens is that you see the guy opposite you. Like, Joe Woods replaced Hank Hill.
Okay.
Okay. So right. Joe Woods replaced right. Hank Hill.
Okay.
Okay, so here is your chance to outshine the guy that you replaced.
Hill! Turn it up! Yeah! Wade Phillips! Hank Hill, I'm sorry. We're going to have Ndamukong Suh rush, and then I'm going to go fill up the propane tank. Yeah! Marcus Peters, you ready to go? Because I got a barbecue I need some propane for.
Yeah, you got Chris Harris looking at, you know, they're giving this young guy this all-pro shine. Oh, man, there's so many matchups, you know, when these kind of games are the games that built the University of Colorado under Coach Bill McCartney's leadership. Because what would happen in these type of games is that the coach knew you were playing against a good team and good players.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd come in and he would say, okay, we're playing Nebraska today. Alfred, I need you to outplay Broderick Thomas. Say, huh? You know, Broderick Thomas is a top five player. I need you to outplay him. Canavis McGee, I need you to outplay Neil Smith.
Okay.
I mean, it was a direct comparison right across the way from the guy that was playing against our offense. So I'm saying this week, Case Keenum, you got to outplay Jared Goff.
Mm.
You got to outplay Jared. Forget about everything else. You got to have a better day than Jared Goff. Is that possible? Absolutely. But you're going to have to outplay him. Whatever he does, you're going to have to outplay him. The entire running back group, I'm going to call you a group. You have to outplay their running back group. You like where I'm going here?
Sure.
Because I think that...
You're doing it with a lot of enthusiasm, so I'm caught up in it.
Right. I mean, it feels like, you know, the thing that is not talked about a lot is how good that Rams offensive line is. Our offensive line, you have to match their offensive line production. whatever it is. If they give up one sack, you can't give up none. So this thing to me feels like an old school just athletic challenge. It feels like something that's very familiar to me because everything on paper says that we should get blown out. Everything. Everything on paper says that we should get blown out.
Stupid paper.
Who uses paper anyway?
Who uses paper? We're a paperless. What are we, Dunder right. Mifflin here? Give me a break. Who needs
right.
paper?
Right. So I like to go with personal challenges. Von Miller, you got to be the best outside linebacker by far on the field with your team or the other team. You know, we got to have production in places where they're good. Chris Harris, I need you to outperform Marcus Peters. I got to have it. I got to have it. Our best players have to play their best and outplay the other side of the field. It's not necessarily playing against the Rams. You're playing against, you know, when the defense needs to play against their defense, our offense needs to play against their offense. And I know that we have to do that while battling the defense, but whatever the protection, if they score a touchdown, D-Mac,
we got to score a touchdown. If they kick a field goal,
we got to have a touchdown.
Like that.
I mean, it has to match. It has to match, and it cannot be any lapses. We cannot get into this area of malaise where we are.
No malaise.
No, man. It's got to feel like I came here to compete against, you know, the guy on the other side that's playing on the best team in football. Well, maybe the second best team. We've seen the first best team, and we competed well. We competed well, and we had a chance to win the game. We didn't get it done, but we had a chance. In the end, we had a chance to win the game. That's all you could ever ask for when you're looking at elite competition. But we have to dial it up, and I'm hoping my homeboy, Bill Musgrave, is ready this week. I hope he is ready this week. I hope when I look over there at the sideline and I see Joe Woods, I hope that he has accepted the challenge to out-coordinate Wade Phillips. You like it? Sean McVay, man.
I love it.
Sean McVay is going to be over there dealing. He's going to be over there dealing with the Rams as the head coach / offense. By the way, the Rams don't play that game.
They don't play that game.
They don't play that game.
What game's that?
The offensive coordinator game.
They don't play the offensive coordinator game. What's that? Is that like
they
Monopoly?
They have no offensive coordinator.
Oh, they have no offensive coordinator. Is that a good thing?
Their head coach is the offensive coordinator. You know, like Gary Kubiak was essentially the offensive coordinator.
So is that a bad thing?
It just tells you that I'm calling the offense. Huh? I'm calling the offense.
Huh? Yeah.
So, you know, I just felt this sense of I had a Coach Mack moment today when I was looking at film.
You're having moments of inspiration.
All we have to do
is score touchdowns if they score touchdowns.
If they score, we have to score.
That's all it is.
If they get an interception, we have to get an interception.
If they get 42 first downs, we have to get 42
first
downs.
We have to get 43. That's right. And, I mean, this is the way it goes, man. I mean, if you're a competitive person, you know exactly what I'm talking about. This would be a great challenge. And I'm here to tell you, I want to see this challenge. I want to see this challenge. More than anything else, I just want to see how the coordinators handle this matchup. The two offensive coordinators in this game, I think, are fantastic. I think Bill Musgrave is a great coordinator. Didn't have a great week last week against the Jets. Some costly penalties and, you know, things didn't go their way all day. And I don't think Case Keenum had a bad day. His eyes were just terrible. I just heard Stokely say it. I said the exact same thing when we came back in here on Monday. Your eyes have to be right. You got to know where you're going with the football. You got to know the design of the play and the intent of the play. You have to do those things to be a good quarterback in this league. Your challenge is to outplay Jared Goff, the third-year pro, first overall pick. No excuses. I watched the game last night, and it was clear as day. that Carson Wentz was running circles around Eli Manning.
Yeah, it's Eli Manning's done. Are we still enthusiastic here?
No, I'm just saying. I mean, but it was the challenge. I mean, it was
challenge.
I mean, you got a guy who's a top five pick in the NFL draft in this team, and you know we were talking about this guy as the MVP of the league last year until he got injured.
Who? What?
Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz. Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Eli Manning, you can't be, you know, you got to match that production, bruh.
Yeah, he can. He's done.
He cannot do it.
No, he's not good
He cannot
anymore.
Do it.
He's
he cannot
like,
do it.
It's like bad.
Yeah, I mean.
You know when they should have known that? Oh, wait, they did. Their coach knew it. McAdoo knew it.
McAdoo
he
did
knew
know
they
it.
Had to make changes. And what'd they do with McAdoo?
They got rid of him.
They got
and put
rid
Eli
of him.
Back.
The only truth teller in the Giants organization. And what did their really, really smart general manager do?
Went and got Saquon Barkley.
He went and got Saquon Barkley, who's really good.
Outstanding.
Outstanding. And had a great game last night. His team lost by 21 points, but Saquon Barkley was outstanding. You know,
If I'm somebody
it's okay, because they're going to be, they obviously did not care about making the playoffs for at least 4 or 5 years. So maybe 4 years, because that's what it's going to take now, because you passed on a quarterback when you easily could have taken one. New York Giants. Like, in the Giants world, we got to get Saquon Barkley, because there is no way there's going to be like Alvin Kamara like 2 years from now. Oh, wait a second. There's a guy like Alvin Kamara every single year in like the second and third round. Hold on a second. Hold on. There's guys like Philip Lindsay who's unbelievable and wasn't even drafted. Mm. Oh, my God. I'm so stupid.
You're telling my wife this for your size doesn't matter.
Be a truth speaker today,
the truth speaker is when you need a quarterback, and you got to go get one.
I was wrong, bro. I was wrong, man.
It's all right.
Hey, man, I was wrong, man.
Now, they may go get a quarterback, you know, this year because they're still going to have a top five pick. And if you have a great running back and
who's going to have a top five?
The New York Giants.
Oh, they're going to have a top five.
Yeah.
They're going to get a quarterback this year.
Yeah. They put themselves 2 to 3 years behind. So did the Broncos. But, well. And I'm watching the first half and, you know, I got a pet peeve. I'm in line with you.
What's that?
Okay. I can't take lazy analysis anymore of simply saying, run the ball more. It is very important to run the ball. There's no doubt about it. But I was really
Explain yourself, because you lost me there for a minute. Come on,
right.
Talk to me.
Before I did sports talk, before I was that crazy, wild, insane, shock rock FM music guy that I used to be. I mean, Captain Insano, that's me. I did 2.5 years of news talk radio. Straight ahead, boom, issues, news talk.
It was about the news.
It was about the news, and it was before. And I didn't come to things in an incredibly partisan way. I grew up in news talk radio where the best thing about it is you could talk about all sorts of issues, and let's have a conversation. That's what I thought it was. Then I learned after I was doing it, Al, no. It's I'm right, you're wrong, or I'm left and you're right, or whatever, and that's it.
Mm.
So that's not fun to do. And one of the topics that would come up all the time was immigration. Immigration, hot button topic, right?
Yeah, of course.
I said, okay, immigration. Okay, I got to, immigration.
Do your work.
So I did, oh my God, I can't even tell you. I mean, it was ridiculous. The two things I did the most work on was like healthcare and immigration. I mean, it was
very big.
Yeah, guess what I found.
Guess what I found out
about both those issues.
What is it?
They were really complicated. Like there wasn't just like one answer.
Let me just say
immigration for example. You can say build a wall. Well, you know, yeah, in some places a wall would be really really good, but. Like, not in all places. So can I tell you,
like not in Miami.
Well, yeah, there's just... yeah, there's literally parts
not
of...
Not in New York.
Right, it's like, should we send illegal immigrants back? Well, yeah, Theoretically, but do you really send somebody back who's been here for 30 years and has a family? And, you know, wait a second. Do we send all illegal immigrants back? Like, should we go to Silicon Valley and send all the engineers back? I mean, should we send them all back?
Wow, dude.
My example is, it's complicated, but nobody wanted to hear that, like, on the radio. Nobody wants to hear, like, hey, it's a really complicated issue, and somebody on the right side of things is right about certain things, and somebody on the left side is right about, no. Everybody just wants to be like, you know, you're right, you're wrong, you're a bad person, you're this, you're that.
So how do you equate this to football?
Because that's run the ball.
Oh.
Run the ball more. More is like talking about immigration.
I thought we were trying to figure out which was wetter, snow or rain.
No.
And we know the... Hey, man.
No, we know clearly rain's wetter than snow. I'm not even going there.
Thank you. We can at least have solidarity.
I'm with you.
About one thing this week.
Yeah.
Rain is wetter than snow.
Don't even get me how unslippery dry ice is. But that's a whole nother conversation. So run the ball. When I hear somebody say run the ball, I think they're like an immigration talk person. They just they wanna look at things one way or another, and they don't want to look at the nuance of the situation. So yesterday, here's what I did.
You heard Troy Aikman saying it. Go ahead.
I didn't hear Troy Aikman say it.
He did though.
Okay, he said run the ball more?
Oh, yeah, you got to run the ball. Saquon Barkley, you got to run the ball with this guy. He's fantastic.
He's not wrong, but it's not about that.
You said give me more depth than that?
I need more depth than that. Because I'm looking at the first half of the game yesterday. The Eagles had run the ball 11 times. The Giants had run the ball 10 times. Okay?
First half.
The Giants were losing, like, by 3 scores already in the first half.
Right.
They had both run the ball about the same amount, and the Giants had technically run it better. Saquon Barkley averaged 10 yards per carry.
At some point, you can't run the ball when you're down.
You know what I really think it is? So I used to be like, oh, the run the ball crowd, they're just dumb. No, I don't think that. Here's what I think. I'm trying to be more nuanced here.
What political party would you say that about, basically?
None of them. This is the neutral conversation. It doesn't take one side or another. Okay?
All right, go ahead.
Just by bringing up a topic. No, I didn't take a side.
I brought up walls
and no walls.
All right.
Just like I'm saying, I got to run the ball more. No. Here's what you need to do. You need to accumulate first downs. Now, this is complicated.
Yes.
You need to accumulate first downs.
Go ahead, homeboy.
You need to convert third downs.
That's right.
And you need to score the ball.
That's right.
Okay? Now, how you go about doing that is mostly dictated about what you're able to do with your opponent. Not what your opponent shows you.
That's right.
Not what they show you.
Every game plan is crafted for that game.
Because I've heard a million people say, you can run against an 8-man box. And you know what? I thought about that a lot. I'm like, you got a good point. So it's not what they show you. It's what you can do to them. That's right. So, and I got this a lot because I watched, you know, I was at that CU-ASU game. And ASU knew CU was going to run the ball in the final 7 minutes. It was a one-score game.
Couldn't stop them.
They had a loaded box. It was all set up. CU didn't care because they knew what they could do against their opponent, no matter what.
Right.
So if you don't think you can run the ball against your opponent, then you got to throw the ball. So what you really see when the Broncos throw it 50 times and they don't run it as much as maybe you would like to see them do it, but they were down by 3 scores at the time, it's simply the coaches admitting,
we can't run the ball against this front.
That's right. But you looked at the New York Jets and they poked at the Broncos a little bit, and what'd they discover?
Oh, we can run the ball.
So we're going to run the ball.
We're not going to throw the ball.
Because we can accumulate first downs and scores.
And control the game.
Now, ideally,
with the run game, we don't need to throw the ball on third down.
Of course, ideally, you would run the ball. I don't know if there's a football coach in America who would ever throw the ball if they didn't have to. I mean, if you could get first downs and score the ball by just running the ball, it's the easiest thing to do. You stand there, you hand it to a dude, and you do it. You're going to churn up clock. You're going to punish the other team. You're going to wipe them out. it becomes like a high school game. When was the last high school game you ever watched? One recently?
Last Friday.
Now, on the high level, when we're talking about Valor and Creek, you know, they get quarterbacks that can throw the ball.
It was actually on TV, but go ahead.
They can throw the ball pretty good at some of the higher schools. But if you watch a lower level of high school football, you know what you see? You see maybe one, maybe two wide receivers. Maybe.
And it's not going to be air it out.
They're always in man coverage. Always. At just a lower level. Not at the highest level, but a lower level. And more or less what they're just doing is saying, throwing the ball is too complicated for us. We're just gonna run the ball. We're going to beat you up.
It's Georgia Tech.
Basically.
I saw Georgia Tech, man. I mean, they clown punched somebody last week. I forget who they were playing. But it was a clinic. It was a clinic on option football and, you know, just grinding it out, doing anything they wanted to the opponent. It was embarrassing. Was it Vanderbilt? What was the week before? No. It was Georgia Tech. I mean, it was embarrassing. It was a clinic. It was old school 1980 football.
So don't tell me.
D-Mac, let me finish this.
66-31 final. Before that, 63-17 against Bowling Green.
Hey, listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
They scored on every offensive possession. They scored on it. Listen to what I'm saying. A college football team in 2018 playing against a group that just had the Heisman Trophy winner and a first-round draft pick from Louisville, Bobby Petrino's team, they scored on every offensive drive. Running the football.
Sure. Because if you can do it, why would you ever stop? The answer isn't run more. It's run when you can and get first downs. Now, let me give you some numbers. The New York Giants ran the ball 17 times. They threw the ball 43. Oh, that's terribly out of whack. Of course it is. However, they accumulated 147 rushing yards. How many rushing yards did the Eagles have? They won by 21 points. They had 108 rushing yards. So then you say, oh, well, certainly they dominated the Giants throwing the ball. Wrong. They threw for 271 yards. The Giants threw for 254 yards. So what the hell is the difference? The Giants actually, did they have more total yards? Hold on, let me just check this really quick. Total yards, the Eagles had 379. The Giants had 401. The Giants had more total yards. So what the hell happened? How did they lose so embarrassingly? Tale of the tape. Carson Wentz had 3 touchdowns and no interceptions. They scored the ball. Eli Manning had no touchdowns and 1 interception. He didn't score the ball and he turned the ball over. And then the most important thing, if you're just looking at, you know, balance, okay? First downs. The Eagles had 23. The Giants had 17. And here's the big one, Alfred. This is why you draft a quarterback and you pay big money. Third down efficiency.
Tell the truth now.
The Eagles were 9-for-16, and the New York Giants were 4-for-14.
And I think they didn't have not one first down on third down in the first half.
Here's the other one. Red zone. Because the game yard-wise, running the ball-wise,
right,
goes to the Giants. Total offense goes to the Giants. Third down goes to the Eagles. Red zone, Alfred. 4-for-6 for the Eagles, 0-for-3 for the Giants. What was the difference in the game? 21 points. What's 21 points? 3 red zone possessions. So I don't want to hear, I expect more from everybody now. I can't just hear run the ball more. Please,
no,
don't say that. You've got to be more sophisticated than that. The reason why the Broncos are losing...
That's why I love to talk about the coordinators. That's why I love talking about the coordinators.
The reason why they're losing isn't because they're not running the ball enough. It's because our quarterback in our offense is not converting third downs, not converting red zones. And if I look at the numbers, I bet I can confirm that. Hold on, let me flip a page. Third down percentage for our offense, 27th in the league. I'm sorry, third down, 26th in the league. Red zone, 27th in the league. The Rams, third down, third in the league. Red zone, 12th. They collect first downs. They score in the red zone, okay, not great.
Top third.
But they can get first downs.
They control the clock, which means that if you get first downs, you control the clock.
Right. We run the ball fine.
You get the ball. When you get the ball back, you have to panic because you're down.
Our rushing offense is third in the league. It doesn't matter. So I don't care if you want to give Royce Freeman 8 more carries because he averages 8 yards. It doesn't matter. What matters is, can you convert first down? Can you convert third down? Can you collect first downs? Can you score in the red zone?
You've come a long way, my friend.
Big Three is next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three, presented by Sam's Number 3 Diner and Bar.
Story number one is probably the health of both teams. Cooper Kupp is good to go, as is Brandon Cooks for the Rams. And they put up 33 without those two dudes last week, and they're their two biggest threats. Meanwhile, the cornerback situation is dicey. Pac-Man Jones will not play. I guess we'll see Tremaine Brock. VJ, what about that cornerback depth?
It is what it is. You know, we've got who we've got. We've got four corners healthy, and we got to go play a game. You know, no one's going to feel sorry for us.
That makes me feel better. Alfred, what do you think about the Broncos' cornerback situation this week?
It seems that this cornerback group, which started the year needing somebody to step up and be a catalyst for this group, it just hasn't happened. And the group overall haven't made the plays that we're used to seeing them make. Have we seen Justin Simmons make a great play on special teams and get a wonderful interception? Yes. But as far as locking it down and being exceptional on third down, we have not seen that. So I think that Vance Joseph will have his work cut out for him this week to get a game plan that just simply gets the Rams off the field. Forget about interceptions. Just get them off the field.
Bongos.
Three.
Last night we saw Odell Beckham Jr. in the game, head-butting the fan that was on the sideline. We've seen him have outbursts on ESPN. This is all, of course, post Odell Beckham Jr. getting his mega payday. Did the Giants pay the wrong guy?
No, you just got to accept that, you know, the nature of...
He wasn't doing this in the preseason, wasn't doing any of this, you know.
The nature of prima donna wide receivers is they act like fools, and they are selfish, and they're not great leaders, and I've just come to terms with that's kind of the nature of the position. They're not great teammates, but they're extraordinary talents. So you just got to deal with it. We got one right here in Colorado with Emmanuel Sanders. You know, he's a great talent. He's just not the guy. And he has never been voted a captain. I don't know if Odell Beckham's a captain. I'd be really surprised if he was.
And I'm not sure that Emmanuel ever has ever hit what Odell Beckham Jr. has been doing right now.
So whatever. You know,
the guy got a 5-year contract with $65 million guaranteed.
Here's the problem, though.
And a $20 million signing bonus. You don't pay a guy in the first year of that deal to do the things that he's doing.
Here's the problem.
He was playing a good citizen until he got the contract.
So he can go back and be
this outlandish wide receiver who acts childish on the sideline.
I'll tell you why.
Hold on, D-Mac. You don't pay a guy this kind of money on average, $18 million. On average, $18 million. And when you give that money to somebody like that, you expect leadership out of them.
No, I do not. Not out of wide receivers. Okay. I do not.
You should never give them that money then.
It's just the cost of doing business.
No, it's not.
His behavior is no different than Antonio Brown or Dez Bryant or Emmanuel Sanders. What happens, though, in the void of real leadership, guys like him stand up. That's why it hasn't been a big deal with Emmanuel Sanders yet this year. We'll see. The season's young. Because Case Keenum has come in and been a leader. But that is slowly eroding for the Broncos because Keenum is playing so poorly. So the level of Keenum's leadership will go down the drain if he doesn't start playing better. And that's obviously what's happened in New York. There was a time when we covered Eli in the Super Bowls that he won. The respect he had amongst his teammate Al was
gone.
It's gone now. So in the void of great,
he can't play. Is that
that's
what it
right?
Is?
In the void of play. Great, in the void of great leadership, the loudest voices will stand the loudest. And the loudest voice right now is a spoiled brat, Odell Beckham Jr. But it doesn't diminish how much talent he has. He's ridiculous. As is Emmanuel Sanders. My biggest issue with Emmanuel Sanders was you can't have Emmanuel Sanders as your biggest leader of your team. And he was a couple years ago, and they were terrible.
You know what? You can't pay a guy like Odell Beckham the kind of money that the Giants paid him. I hope we never make that mistake.
Well, we don't have anybody like Odell Beckham Jr. If we could get Odell Beckham Jr., we would get Odell Beckham Jr.
I think we have that guy. I think that it's a young Cortland Sutton. Did you see that one-handed grab that he went up and got the other day? And it was out of bounds?
You think Cortland Sutton is just as good as Odell Beckham Jr.?
I think he's going to be in that class.
He could be, sure. And you know what? It won't surprise me if he behaves like other diva wide receivers. Because that's what they do. And I wouldn't be disappointed by it, Bongos.
Three!
We got time for one more?
You want to do it quick, yeah?
Dodgers, Brewers, Astros, Red Sox. What's a better series and why?
Oh, Astros, Red Sox. Are you kidding me? Talking about the defending world champs say that they have been disrespected and not able to play in prime time? Come on, man. I mean, they got a chip on their shoulder going into the game, and don't forget that they're the defending world champs.
All right. I love it. Bongos.
Three.
Wrap it up there.
Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. Ultimately, it's the two biggest headlines, but I love the Dodgers Brewers series as well. Go Brew Crew. All in for the Brew Crew against the Dodgers. And, you know, I'm pulling for my Red Sox now that the Rockies are out of it. By the way, props to the Avalanche. What a butt kicking they served down to the Sabres last night.
Boom!
6-1. Our best player on the Avalanche is playing like it, McKinnon. So when your best players play great, when everybody's behind you, away you go. No reason they can't have an outstanding season this year. We look forward to watching, that's for sure. Okay, when we come back, the changes that have been made. We were promised changes. What are they? And we got to pat ourselves on the back about something. Details next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. Here's Big Al and T-Mac.
I have a huge announcement to make because I'm just listening to radio today, and I'm hearing all sorts of announcements all over the place. Here is our big announcement. Nothing is changing with our show.
Are you kidding me?
Just want to take a moment.
I'm like, what are you about to do here?
Right. There was a decision to put us together over 9 years ago, and today, October 12th, 2018, our announcement is nothing has changed.
My main man, Steve Price.
Just want to announce, nothing is changing. Nice try. Good luck.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, it's going to come back to bite me someday, I know. But I know. But,
What are you doing, man?
Little inside baseball. Just proud of everybody here. Proud of everybody. Oh, by the way.
Dude, you're so.
Yeah. You kind of snaked out of something today.
What happened?
Well, you and Stink were tied for the worst picks in the quarter.
I won the tiebreaker.
I don't think so.
Hello.
Hello.
You play to win the game.
What would the tiebreaker be?
I don't know.
So, Mark Schlereth with Scott DeHuff. Have you seen the video?
Not yet.
Oh, dude, it is hysterical.
Was I supposed to do it with him?
Yeah. So it was Scott having that.
My
little...
producer didn't tell me that.
Oh, beep, beep.
My
beep,
producer didn't tell me that
beep,
either.
Beep,
okay.
Beep,
beep. Long as we're on the same page, long as my producer and I are on the same page.
Dude, can you find the audio a little bit? It was so funny. So it's DeHuff with that little hand picture of you, like the little thing, your face on a stick. So he's you and Mark's Mark. And they're walking down our sales office, and they're recreating the shame moment from Game of Thrones. I mean, it was hysterical. There's some, like, little smaller person. No, I'll just take the audio if you got it. I thought it was hysterical. If you got it,
what's up? It's DeHuff. I'm here with Mark Schlereth. Now, Mark Schlereth tied with Alfred Williams for the quarter for the football season as the worst record for the Fan Football Pick'em presented by King Soopers. Mark, it's now time for you to do the walk of shame.
Look, first, why am I the only one? Why is Alfred not here?
Alfred's probably eating. That's all I'm saying. I don't know.
So I have to do it myself when Alfred and I both tied for the worst record?
Just shut up. Just let's do the walk of shame. Let's go, baby.
I'm ready. The walk of shame. Here we go.
Shame.
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 Now,
shame.
I actually Googled
shame.
This. And
shame.
In the Game of Thrones, you take your clothes off.
Nope. Keep your clothes on.
Right?
Shame.
No, you guys want me to take my clothes off, don't you?
No! Stop it. That's an HR issue.
That's what she does.
Shame.
So fun. That's there. He's walking down our sales office. All the salespeople are standing up, screaming shame at him, booing him. As like, who is behind him? Who is the human being with the cowbell behind him? Who was
that's
that?
Millennial Ben.
That was Millennial Ben. Oh my God, so funny.
Get up that early to come.
Shame.
One of the funniest things. I mean, Scott DeHuff has produced, shame. And our video department's produced a lot of funny things. I was dying laughing at this. The fact that we actually had a walk of shame like that, and so many of our coworkers were chiming in. I mean, it was hysterical. So nobody brought it to your attention that you were supposed to be part of that.
My producer's right there behind me. Big Sexy? Did you notify me that I needed to be?
I did not, because nobody notified me that he had to be there.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. I mean, I don't care.
It sounded like you did.
No. I don't care at all. No. The more humiliation for the Khaki Pants Show, the better, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, to see how wrong they were about the Bradley Chubb pick is almost satisfying
they
enough.
The only one.
I don't care if you skip out on it. There was that reaction. Wait, do we have the soundbite where D-Mac, you were right? Do we have that saved somewhere?
You don't have that one. There's no need for that one. It's rubbing it in. You're not that kind of guy.
I got to admit, the sense of humor with the morning show with that stuff is so funny.
I actually
picked up a
new one today, guys. I don't know if you know this. But,
I was wrong,
right.
Man.
It's all right.
Hey, man, I was wrong, man. That's that good old Houston South Park right there coming at you.
Wait, I have another announcement about the Fan Morning Show. Nothing's changing. So there you go. That's in there. Oh, and our midday shows, nothing's changing. Nothing's changing here. All right, I'll stop. Changes with the Broncos. Well, we know Pac-Man Jones isn't going to catch footballs. It was funny. I'm listening to Tom McMahon today, and he's talking about how he wants to get like we're catching the ball fine. Now we need to run with the ball. I'm like, dude, stop.
And just catch it.
Yeah. No, you're doing like, I don't know if he appreciates what actually happened here last year. No, you're doing great. Here, maybe this is,
you know, the biggest thing is just, he acts like a vet. You know, it's not a big deal.
Deshaun Hamilton.
It doesn't focus on the situation. It'll focus on the task. We got to get the ball in his hands, give him a chance to run with it.
No, you don't.
That's what I want to see.
No.
We haven't had a lot of chances in terms of punt return yardage.
What
we need to see from him is, can he make a play once he gets the ball in his hands? He's catching the heck out of it.
Stop.
Let's go make a play now.
Dude, you're my favorite coach. What are you doing?
What did you give him? You gave him a You gave him an A?
No, because they had a punter who they cut.
Okay.
Can't give them an A because of that, but I give him a B.
B plus. I gave him a B plus.
Sure.
Our punt, I gave it a 10.
Our punt return average is 5.5 yards a game. That's fine. It's 26th in the league. Sounds miserable. The Rams average 14 yards. That's a first down. It's not that big of a deal. Yeah, it's only 9 yards difference. No biggie. So the difference between, you know, 26th and 4th is 9 lousy yards. Who cares? We can get that on one play. If we hand the ball to Royce Freeman, it's cool. We're good there. I hear a comment like that, and I'm like, oh, my God, dude. No. Now Deshaun Hamilton, who's a young guy, thinks to himself, oh, it's not enough just to catch the ball? Even though it's going to be snowing and cold, not nearly as wet as just regular rain, but now I got to do something? Tom McMahon has set up... Tom McMahon? What's his name? Tom McMahon, right? Yeah. He is set up for, like, ridiculous trying-to-do-too-much-ism. I was kind of bummed with his answer there. I thought this guy kind of got it.
This represents that he doesn't get it?
It just represents the... Yeah, kind of. Sort of. 5.5 yards is fine. We got to have him do more. No, you don't. You really don't. You don't. Nobody goes into a football game saying, "Whew, man, if we don't get a, you know, punt return for a touchdown here, we are screwed." Nobody thinks like that. But here's what matters. Turnovers matter, Alfred.
They do. They always have.
And when we were like a pack of wild wolves watching Isaiah McKenzie just fumble, you know, the ball around last year and giving him chance after chance, I mean, what in the world were we thinking? This year's been great. Ah, that makes me nervous. That comment right there makes me so nervous for this Sunday. Like, all of a sudden, a young guy, Deshaun Hamilton, who looks to be great, has not caught that many punts in the NFL, all of a sudden is going to feel like, oh, I got to, you know, it's not enough to catch it.
Ah, I don't think it's going to create...
Gave me the chills.
I don't think it's going to create anything other than just real opportunity with the football in hand. I just... You know, you look at things so pessimistic when it comes to the return game. You don't look at it
Do you ever notice how...
Opportunistically like everybody else.
You're not, I know.
You're not an optimist when it comes to our special teams.
I'm not an optimist with anybody's special teams. Because everybody focuses on the handful of returns that go for big yards, and they ignore what happens 95% of the time. Do you realize how many penalties and injuries happen on special teams? I just saw an injury, by the way... I guess maybe it was last night. It was last night. I forget which team it was on, but it was a kickoff, right? That was taken for a knee in the end zone, and a dude got injured. Like, he injured his neck or something. Do you remember that in the game last night?
I did see an injury.
During a kickoff that was taken for a fair, you know, a touchback. But the players don't know that, right? Like, they're running down there a million miles an hour. They don't know it's going to be a touchback. So they're slamming it into each other left and right.
You know what?
Hold on really quick. That was Ray Armstrong for the Giants, and he was out with a concussion.
on a touchback. On a
Nobody
touchback.
Knows it's going to be a touchback.
It was the opening kick of the third quarter.
We lost out on seeing Ray play the rest of the day because of a touchback.
It sounds like you want to take kickoff return.
I definitely want to take it off. I want the Shiano model.
Actually, I would be okay with that. I would be okay with that.
Fourth and 15.
Until the end of the game.
No. The end of the game is...
Onside kicks have to happen.
No, they don't. Fourth and 15 from your own 25. Go. Go for it.
Huh?
The Shiano model says if you score, you get the ball on your own 25 and it's fourth and 15. You don't need an onside kick. You got the ball. Or you can punt. No onside kicks. Onside kicks go away forever. Go for it. It's a football play. Fourth and 15.
Well, you know, that guy, he's got a lot of experience.
He figured it out because of Eric LeGrand.
That's right.
It's one of the more brilliant football suggestions that hasn't been adopted. And John Elway's on the rules committee. John, give Greg Chiano some props and bring it up. Football 4 is next.